Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And on the bullpen phone from an even safer distance, Chris, my pal Chris Zook.
Hello, everybody.
So we're gonna address the elephant in the room. We're going to pour one out for the Canadians, and we're going to tip our caps to the Bolts, because I happen to host a baseball show with two hockey fans who were cheering for competing teams in the Stanley Cup, and that wrapped up this week. So we'll get that out of the way.
Hey, now, let's go Bolts!
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Well, it was a good series. Actually, I'll be honest, it was actually the most fun. I was saying this to Lee J earlier today. It was the most fun I've watched hockey in quite a while. And this is no offense to anything else, but it kind of brought up sort of my Habs that I didn't know I had in me for a while there. Just they hadn't been good for a while. So it was quite an epic run. Obviously, second is second, and that's not good enough. But yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay did amazing the last, I guess, 9 months or so, really, to win two cups back to back, which is pretty incredible.
Two cups in less than 300 days, baby.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just tough because, I mean, they're stacked, right? And the Canadians aren't, and that's sports, right? So they got through three rounds somehow and didn't get a fourth, but that's how it goes sometimes, right? So, I mean, but it was still fun. It was fun to watch, and maybe the Jets could do a run down the road like that. They did that a little while ago, but it is different when they get all the way to the finals, right? So that's kind of cool, and hopefully people will watch it in person next year for that and other sports here in Canada. So we'll see.
We will see. So we are going to, of course, turn our attention to baseball since this is a baseball show. One thing that we haven't really talked about in the lead up to the announcement of any of the All-Star stuff is the All-Star game. I think we kind of,
yes,
we went down a few different kind of cul-de-sacs and rabbit holes, but
there's been a lot going on, but yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't mind starting with the All-Star. So, I mean, obviously the selections for the starters have been announced in the interim, and also the home run derby bracket. Do we want to start with home run derby since it usually precedes the All-Star game?
Yeah, let's do that.
So, yeah. I mean, no surprise, Shohei Ohtani in the home run derby. We've been singing his praises all season and just how incredible he is. It's fantastic to see this guy in the home run derby. I mean, certainly there is the concern about, you know, what it can do to kind of sap a player's second half. But if anyone seems like he could be immune to it, Shohei Ohtani definitely there. He's the one seed. He'll be battling against Juan Soto on one side of the bracket. The 4-5 is Salvador Perez and Pete Alonso. On the other side of the bracket, you got Joey Gallo at 2 and Trevor Story at 7. And then the 3-6 is Matt Olson and Trey Mancini in the first round. What thoughts on the bracket breakdown? You know, defending champion Pete Alonso is at number 5. Because of course
he's had a little bit of a weird season, eh?
He hasn't had a great season.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I mean, he's, you know,
got a gap obviously from last year because there was no Derby.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too bad Vladdy didn't go this year, but I understand it, right? I mean, it's sort of like the slam dunk contest is that once you do it once, you don't have to come back, right? Unless you're the defender. Even if you're the defender, you don't have to come back. But, I mean, it would have been nice. I mean, geez, you know, like, you know, Tatis or Kuna or, you know, and Vladdy in there, that would have just been epic, right? But that Shohei is in there, I think alone is worth the price of admission. Honestly, like, I think the other 7, whatever. But if he does anything that he's been doing in, like, real baseball this year, like, it could be pretty epic. It could be like sort of like is it Josh Hamilton, was that who?
Yeah, he was the one that
where he mashed like 4,000
28 in one round or something like that.
Yeah, it was something insane. And I'm not saying that he will, and maybe it's better for him he doesn't win, right? Because there is some kind of a little bit of a jinx sometimes about this, but it's just good entertainment, right? I mean, it's no different than the slam dunk contest to me, right? You just go there and guys just, you know, I mean, it's a great story that Trey Mancini's in it because, you know, he came back from cancer remission, and, you know,
he's on the Orioles, like, you know, like a team that have not really had much in the way of anything to celebrate in a while.
Long while. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's Shohei Ohtani's to lose, but yeah, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, these things, you know, I mean, Vladdy had an epic one against Alonso a couple years ago, and I, you know, those are kind of cool, right? It's just entertainment, you know. To me, it's just, you know, it's just for fun, right?
And, yes, that's correct.
I had kind of forgotten that it's taking place in Denver, so the
that's right.
Coors Field effect. I mean, we might see some very interesting numbers this year.
Oh, we could see some epic ones. Well, I mean, you know, if they're grooving them in there and you know, as long as they're not using any spider tack on the ball, it should be no problem.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously not going to be any spider tack on the ball. We'll get to that potentially later, or at least one person about it potentially later. But, yeah, I mean, the ball's going to fly at Coors, right? Like, these guys are just going to mash, and it's – which is good because it means we're going to get to see a lot of the extra time with the way that the rules work.
I like the way they tweaked it. Was it 2 or 3 years ago about that, where if you hit a certain number of home runs,
if you hit two balls over 450 feet.
Yeah. So I like that. There's a bit, because there was a point, like, I think, where this thing took about 4 hours to do, because you would just you know, you would, the guys would just kind of not hit the ball until they wanted to, and there really wasn't a time limit and all that. So I think they've tightened this up a bit, which is nice. Yeah, I mean, it'll be exciting. I think anytime Ohtani's doing something, I'm there. So I mean, guy's doing is
a monster.
It's just insane, and but yeah, I'm excited that he signed up for it. I like this, right? Like, Madden is totally, not only is he on board for this, he's on board for him to, he probably will be the starting pitcher of this game, plus he'll be in the field. Like, you know, let's do it, right? Like, let's showcase this guy. This is the one chance that they can showcase this, hopefully, where, you know, the NBA finals. I mean,
him, Vladdy, and Tatis are probably the 3 most fun and interesting players in baseball right now, and 3 legitimate megastars that will get people interested in the game.
100%. It's just Ohtani's doing something that has never been done before. I mean, Babe Ruth did it to a lesser degree, but, you know, first of all, that's 100 years ago. But Ohtani, like, let's just... I mean, he's doing it not just hitting, but pitching, defensively, running. Like, he is literally a 5-tool player when they call up that.
He's a monster.
He's actually probably a 6-tool player, right? Because he's also pitching. It's just, it's the stats they've, you know, that they roll roll up about to the All-Star. Like, he broke just the most home runs by a Japanese player in Major League Baseball history. And we're just at the All-Star break, basically, right? I mean, he still has a couple more games left. I mean,
so who do we think is going to win this? The home run derby.
I'll say Ohtani. Sure. I'll go with the number one seed. That's an easy one.
Okay. Give me Mancini.
Yeah, I was going to say Mancini would be a nice story. I'll give you that. I'd like to see them in the finals if that's possible. I think that's possible. I think because they're on the way the seating is or whatever. But Michael, who would you go for?
So my head says Ohtani. My heart kind of wants Trevor Story. I want the home field kid. Huh. There's only three players who have won the Derby in front of their home fans before. Ryne Sandberg in 1990 in Chicago. Todd Frazier in 2015 in Cincinnati, and Bryce Harper in 2018 in Washington. So not something that's happened a lot. Story, so since StatCast began tracking in 2015, no Colorado player has hit a longer home run at Coors Field than Story's 487-foot blast in 2018 that was on the left field concourse at Coors Field. You know, this guy has been playing half his games in Coors Field and hitting very well there. So I have hope that, you know, especially, you know, for the crowd, because there are crowds in U.S. ballparks, that they would really get into it if their guy did it. Now, Brian, you mentioned the, you know, Ohtani and kind of like attracting fans with what he's doing. Did either of you listen to the Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo conversation around Ohtani earlier this week?
I did, yeah. Bill and Ryan kind of frustrate me a little bit, because like Bill clearly does not care about baseball outside of the Boston Red Sox at all. And he hasn't cared about baseball outside of the Boston Red Sox in about 15 years. He kind of did speak to the everyman-ness of it, but it just kind of came across as both cool to know that like there's a bunch of people that are supporting and excited about Ohtani, but it came across as incredibly ignorant to not speak about the rest of the exciting young players who were the rest of the exciting cool young players who were available. And he talked about how like nobody's hitting home runs like Ohtani right now, and he's not scared of anybody like Ohtani, when there's a whole bunch of players that are also hitting player, like, you know, Ohtani's leading the home run race, don't get me wrong, but like there's five or six guys that are all mashing taters right now, at the same sort of rate as Ohtani is.
Right. The interesting thing about this, I think, Brian, you have a good point here in regards to yes, it's what Ohtani's doing is the shiny penny, right? Like, it's just the shiny object. It's just so amazing, you can't not look at it, right?
But he's incredible.
When you look outside of it, right, what's amazing about this is he's driving it where, you know, it's got Vladdy and Tatis and Acuna and there's about five or six other guys who are right there in 20 to 25. I mean,
well, he talked about Ohtani as the most dangerous hitter in baseball, and you know, and talks about how he's so scared of Ohtani every single time he comes to the plate, as one should be. But his team's in the same division is Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's only four home runs back on him and has 70 points of batting average over him. Vlad is by far the scarier hitter right now. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but he's not watching Red Sox Jays games.
And that's not disparaging Ohtani. That's not at all.
But the other thing is also, I think where he's maybe going with this is more like, yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think it's a bit more of on a surface level, where Ohtani is a bit like McGuire was in 98. Like, this is like every time he comes up, you're clicking on the MLB, right? No, I know, but it's the way he's doing stuff. Like, he had that stretch of like 13, sure. I think he had 15 home runs in 13 games or something. And these are bombs. These are Ohtani bombs. Like, they're not just carrying over the fence. I mean, these are 400, 450, 460. Like, I mean, the sound off the, it's just, I think there's something about sort of what he's doing. Like,
I'm not trying to disparage what Ohtani's doing, but he's not, what I'm trying to say is he's not the only one doing it.
I would agree with that. And I think that that's where the bigger picture is. I think what we might get in August and September possibly is we could have a race a bit where it's not Maguire Sosa, but it's going to be, it could be four or five guys going for about 50, 55 home runs if they keep on this pace.
Exactly.
Right. And that would be awesome. Really cool. That would be really cool because I think then it would just even highlight Ohtani even more so, but also maybe bring in everyone else in the picture. I mean, then this goes always back to the big part of like, you know, what are they doing with, you know, you have like these amazing young stars. And thankfully, I think Ohtani is kind of getting out there a bit more just because of his uniqueness and just what he's doing this year. But yeah, all these other ones should be just as elevated as he is in regards to what they're doing, right? And that's where Major League Baseball, hopefully the All-Star Game gives a little bit of that, but they keep missing the mark a bit here. These guys should be.
Well, it doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't help when people like Bill Simmons, who's you know probably the most listen to sports podcast on the planet, goes out there and is like, yeah, baseball is, I mean, I'm loving watching the Red Sox, but baseball sucks right now because there's only one good player and that's Shohei Ohtani, and baseball isn't marketing him right. And that's not anywhere close to the reality of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
unfortunate, right? Because that's a very centric, you know, yes, I would say Simmons is where I don't listen to the podcast, but just what he's been in over his career. It's always Boston centric. It's always been, you know, no matter what
right.
the sport is, it's about the Celtics but or the,
he
or the
has
Patriots.
Been,
and
he has been very good over the course of his career of realizing, hey, I don't have the breadth to talk about this. So I'm going to get somebody in who does.
Okay.
And he hasn't done that with baseball, and him and Russillo keep talking about it as if they're experts when it's very obvious that they're just kind of showing they're behind on this one. And it's driving me nuts a little bit.
That's fair comment.
Well, the point that came
what did you think?
In that pod that I wanted to talk about was Russillo's point that, you know, so we've got Ohtani doing crazy things, right? Like on both sides of the ball.
Right.
This is a guy who should be attracting new fans. And are we actually seeing any like interest generated, right? Like, and admittedly, your point is hold on. Your point is taken,
yeah,
Brian, that there are more than just like there's a lot of dynamic players who could conceivably be marquee players. But is that legitimately generating interest, right? And I mean, looking at, you know, some of the playoff numbers for the NBA, viewer numbers are down. It's not like the NBA with its like year-round hype train is necessarily like generating eyeball attention when it comes to the playoffs. But in terms of like, you know, a Q rating, in terms of, you know, more people know like the third guy on the Clippers then could name you like a second person on the Angels, right? Like it's just, even though there is Ohtani, it's not necessarily like translating into like people being checking out clips of Ohtani who don't normally watch baseball, right? Like it's fantastic for the people who are already invested in the sport.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's for us who've grown up at loving baseball, our lives, there are a lot of dynamic and fascinating players, and what Ohtani is doing is great, and we really appreciate it week in and week out. But you know, like my children who are on TikTok are not watching baseball clips.
So let's can I maybe make two points about this?
By all means.
One, he plays on the West Coast, and it's these games start at 9 o'clock sometimes in Central Time. It's 10 o'clock Eastern. The West Coast always gets a bit of a shaft, right? In regards to that. But here's the other thing, and I'm just straight up, and maybe I'm totally wrong, and correct me if I am. If he was an American, like if this was Aaron Judge doing this, something or someone like you know what I mean? Like I'll tell you right now.
Maybe. I mean, you guys were more aware of the sports conversation going on at the time, but like I know that as a kid, Ichiro was the coolest thing on the planet, and he was both Japanese and on the West Coast team. The guy won the MVP and the Rookie of the Year. So like people People care,
but did he move the needle then too? I mean, I think there
obviously
is
he did. I thought he moved the needle in a huge way. Obviously,
I guess yes, maybe no. Inside
I mean,
the sport.
Yeah, I mean, people, but I think, yeah, but it's hard about the bubble. Like, I think, yeah, I think where Michael is going or where that comment is, you know, does it come outside of the bubble of baseball, right? I hope it does. Like, I think there is a little bit of a break, as in I do see Ohtani a bit more on ESPN, right, in regards to when he does sort of when he beat the Japanese record already. Like, I think people are starting to catch on a bit. What he's doing is even more so than what McGuire did in 98 or Barry Bonds or whatever. I mean, he's doing something that has never happened before with his stolen bases and his hitting and his pitching and his and
no, he's the most well-rounded baseball player we've ever seen in our entire in maybe ever.
Right. I've read some stories. So I mean, maybe it has to get going as we get into the dog days of summer and, you know, before NFL starts, is that there could be a run here with Ohtani. Is if he keeps going with this, maybe it does build up more. The other thing is also there is the fragmentation of just media. Like, they're just, you know, there is something of even when Ichiro was 20 years ago, we didn't have social media like it is. And there's a good, and there's always pros and cons, right? And so maybe I, you know, it could be a whole combination of those things. I hope that people are getting a bit more of the message. And that goes back to, again, Major League Baseball should be pumping this guy every day. Like, literally, like, have a, like, I don't know. Like,
it's not just Major League Baseball, though. It's networks.
Sure. There's no doubt about that. But it's
like
a concert.
If Stephen A. Smith was talking about Shohei Ohtani every single day on First Take or his show, you know, that would matter. It would matter more.
Yeah.
Is it the fault of Major League Baseball? Absolutely. Is it also a fault of the networks for not helping them out? Of course it is.
Sure. I do think also the anomaly this year is that the NBA has stretched much further than it ever would, right? Is that it goes...
Yeah, but people are less and less interested of it. People are caring more and more about the transactions in the offseason, and the executives at the NBA recognize that's a problem.
Yeah, fair enough. There's a whole bunch. I mean, baseball has always been, you know, they've been three for quite a while now in America, right? So that's the problem just in general. It's been behind definitely the NBA and NFL is you know, is a 365 sport now, right?
But I mean, so, we see the influence that like places like ESPN have. I mean, Stephen A. Smith started talking about hockey on First Take very recently, and as a result, like, we've seen a spike in ratings. It's like those things correlate.
There's no doubt. I mean, it helps a bit. I mean, obviously, but yeah. And so I we'll see here. I think, you know, hopefully as he continues to do what he does, and plus all the other young players, and the All-Star game hopefully will be a showcase for that, is that can help to further push maybe the needle here a bit, right? I mean, this is, you know, more people have to champion, I guess, all across the board.
Right. And Brian, like you said, you know, for someone like Simmons who has a soapbox, you know, and a microphone,
you got to be more
this
responsible.
Probably one of the first times he's talked baseball since the beginning of the season when he did, you know, his kind of like Boston preview. Beyond that, he really has not talked baseball.
Yeah, and he's not bringing Jacko on at all because the Yankees suck and Jacko hates that team, and that's fine. But like, as the number one sports podcaster on the planet, you have to be more responsible. You have to. If you don't know entirely what you're talking about, you have to be more responsible, period. End of story.
So all-star rosters, you must be excited as a Toronto fan that there are three elected starters.
I'm surprised about one of them, Teoscar.
I'm not. He's having a good year.
Really? Like, as a starter, I get it. Also, like the other two, I mean,
Marcus Semien and Vlad.
I just seem to... Semien and Vlad. I mean, those to me were no brainers. Maybe I'm a little bit jaded on that, but that said, is, I mean, to get four, that's the most of any team in Major League Baseball to have four.
The Jays are fun. The Jays are really fun. I don't know. Teoscar's hitting .297, .338, .479 with, you know, 11 home runs, 5 stolen bases. He's having a good year. Yeah.
I don't know, but I was a little bit surprised him starter, but sure. I mean, that's
starter. Right. I agree with you. He probably maybe not necessarily a starter.
I mean, but that said, is, you know, I mean, Trout got in and he's, you know, I mean, I get right. It's been like that forever. It's name recognition, right? So the guy's played, you know, a month of a season, a little bit more maybe. And, you know, fair enough. I mean, I get that. It's been like that forever. Right? I mean, what was the 1 year when they stuffed the ballots for, I don't know, I can't remember.
KC,
right? They had five or six of them, right? And so that's part of it, right? That's, you know, I mean, I'm sure Toronto did a very good job of maybe stuffing some of the ballots, and so be it, right? Again, this is just an exhibition game, except it isn't now, right? Because it's for the one the extra game in the World Series, but that's another story. But anyways, I mean, it's good for the Jays for sure. They're getting rewarded for their offensive prowess again. You know, if they want to do anything this year on the field, you know, to get to the playoffs, they might need some more pitching, but that's another story, you know.
Well, I mean, they just made a trade, right? They sent off Rowdy Tellez for Trevor Richards, so that's a move in the right direction.
But the weird thing is, like, I don't know if you heard, like, the rumor today was Nelson Cruz is available possibly, and that the Jays might be interested. And it's like,
silly, there's no point.
Why, you know, hey, that's nice, that would be great, except you don't need another bat, you need more pitching. Like that trade, that's okay. Like, a Rowdy was, you know, he was in the minors, and you know, he's kind of been up and down, you know, through his career. So I don't mind that trade, but they need more of that, right? They need to address what they need to do is pitching. It's not hitting. They don't need Nelson Cruz.
I did want to get something off before we did finish the show. I'm sure that normal fans of the show have expected us to at least have said something by this point about the Trevor Bauer situation.
Oh, yes.
Right. So that was announced, like, so we record on Thursdays, and I think it was last Thursday night.
It was Wednesday, because we went on.
Oh that's why we recorded early, because of Canada Day. We did recorded early. And so the Bauer news, I think, like, happened that evening. Maybe like around the time we were recording.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, it was around the time we were recording. We missed it entirely. And yeah, so it's I mean, we're not Trevor Bauer fans in this household. So it's not, and I can't exactly, based on some of the things that you said online too and about women, this comes as exactly zero shock to me. And it's disgusting, and it's disgraceful, and it's despicable. And if it's true, and then I hope they get him. I hope he doesn't play another single inning in Major League Baseball.
But this goes also back to then a bit of, like, again, is we all knew about his character, right? And the Dodgers signed him. You know, like they didn't have to sign him, right? They signed him to this massive contract for a couple of years, right? And it just goes to show that, you know, they don't care, right? Like organizations don't care as long as you perform on the field.
Well, they care up until a certain point,
until when this happens. And he was going to pitch, right? Robert said, well, we'll let Major League Baseball deal with the investigation. But they didn't have him. He was still scheduled to pitch last Sunday before they finally kind of said, nah, he's not going to pitch. And then they finally said, you know, then he wasn't going to show up at the White House because, you know, the optics of that. And then they withdrew the bobblehead. And it's just like, okay, well, yeah, these are all no-brainers, right? Like, it should have been immediate that he's, you know, he's not going to be pitching on Sunday. And Roberts did this kind of, well, we'll look at it, and when Major League, and he kind of punted it back to Major League Baseball. It's like, no, you guys can make this decision.
Yeah, it's really despicable how the Dodgers have handled this. It's really, really, really not good the way that the Dodgers have handled this.
Yeah, it's really not good. You know what?
He's on a paid administrative leave, which was extended. I was actually looking up some information, and earlier today, Juan Toribio on MLB.com reporting that they've extended it for an additional 7 days. So he was placed on this leave last Friday. And so this extension will go into effect this Friday. So an additional 7 days. He won't be eligible to return to the field till at least July 16th, based on this decision. This is an agreement made with the Players Association. Obviously, with the agreement that the Players Association has with the league, there are kind of limits on what the league can do in circumstances like this. So Bauer's under investigation following sexual assault claims from a woman who alleges that the pitcher got physical with her during recent encounters. that woman has been granted a temporary ex parte restraining order, although Bauer has been given a formal hearing to dispute the restraining order. And the Pasadena, California Police Department has opened a criminal investigation as of this time. Just that's where the kind of like the legality of things are at. The joint domestic policy is, in effect because of where things are at, but absolutely police survivors. And certainly, you know, we have talked about Bauer's troublesome past with women online in the past. So not necessarily a shock to us. And as you said, you know, people may have expected us to have it on last week's show, but as we said, you know, we didn't actually see the initial story until after we'd finished recording much earlier than normal. So.
Yep. And so I hope they get him, because people like that don't deserve to have famous careers where they're making millions of dollars. People, it's just disgusting, man.
Yeah. He's been rewarded, for far too long here. And yeah, I mean, yeah, I actually think the Dodgers, you know, I'm not too sure what the loyalty is to him. He's only been there literally for a cup of tea here, right? Like, it's just like a cup of coffee. Like, he's just, he hasn't been a Dodger for life. You know, he doesn't bleed Dodger blue, right?
Well, he literally, to be honest, just even got if signed. He did.
I mean, sure. Yeah. I mean, but
their loyalty's to the win, and it always, most of these teams, it always will be up until the point where it affects their bottom line. When sponsors and shit start pulling out, but other than that, you know, it's a shame how a lot of these teams handle this. You know, there are some teams like the Dodgers. I mean, you remember how the Blue Jays handled the Osuna thing a number of years ago? Like, they got him out of there like instantly.
Yeah,
like they didn't mess around. There needs to be, I mean, and I'm not going to congratulate the Blue Jays, because I'm sure that they probably knew more earlier than that, but they didn't mess around. There needs to be more situations like that,
right? I mean, hard pivot off of that, but your show coming up at 1 o'clock.
Oh, hold on here. Oh. Did we? Yeah, no. It's all good. Let's do the hard pivot. No, I'm good. I stand corrected. I was going to say something else, and I scrubbed that there. So let's hear what's going on with the pity party this week.
I've got some really good stuff coming up. There's a brand new Free Throw album out. It's called Piecing It Together. So I'm going to be playing a track off of that. I'm going to be playing some Sunny Day Real Estate, some Penfold, some Dikembe. I've got some Propaganda in the show in the middle, so that should be good too.
Hey, Michael, this is a weird one too. This is kind of off the beaten path. Is it kind of a segue with the pity party, but, in Winnipeg, where people are listening and we're trying to get our restrictions there and they're trying to get back to a little bit of normalcy, there is actually some places that are starting to do some live music and people are interested. One thing I saw this week was there's something that's being set up, like it's called the Beer Can out in the Granite
Club. This is at the Granite Curling Club.
And they just started doing some live concerts, I think, starting this week. And so it's sort of out there, right? I mean, you would know more than I would, but I think it's starting to get out that there is going to be some, hopefully, some live music available.
There have actually already been some live music already at the Beer Can, so.
Which is great.
It's ongoing. I will quickly plug. So my show normally airs at 7 o'clock. This week, I'm actually switching time slots with Cole's Notes, which runs at 5:30. I'm doing that so that I can play the new Royal Canoe album that's out today as part of their party on your porch. At 5:45 across Winnipeg and across the world, people are playing one of the tracks from the new Royal Canoe. And we'll be playing it on UMFM. And so just turn on your radio at 5:45 and people can, you know, bike by or walk by or drive by. And in your neighborhood, they'll be able to celebrate the release of Sidelining, the new Royal Canoe record.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's 1 week only. We're doing a switch.
That's worthy of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun. No, I had Bucky on last week to talk about the record, and so excited to play the record tonight.
Bucky's a cool dude.
That's fantastic. That's great. Well, hopefully people enjoyed the All-Star break a bit and the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby, because if you haven't seen some of these guys, that's a good time hopefully to, you know, see them play for that extra game in the World Series. I was going to kick on that now.
All right. Well, we will be back next Friday.
Are we done? Meantime. Hey, guess what? Play ball! Let's go, half! Woo!
Strike three! You're out!